right. It is time for the crime report. That's right. Brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. And that's where all calls kept confidential. Monetary reward issued of up to $5,000 various times for information that will lead to various arrests. Joe Jacalone, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's current adjunct professor at John Jay College and an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. Joe, of course, highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, and including the Department Medal of Valor. The aforementioned Joe Jacalone. Sarge, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
There you go. We got Joe right in place. Yep. All's good here, Joe. All's good here. Let's get right to it. Lots of stuff. I want to go to the dog fighting ring that was broken up yesterday in Uniondale. What did they seize? 28 dogs, guns, drugs, you name it. A couple of people in custody. I think 2 people in custody, actually. But drugs and weapons seized as well. That was a... I guess it was an NYPD-led crackdown, correct, here?
Yeah, it was a NYPD crackdown that was working in conjunction with police on Long Island about these kind of dog rings. But, you know, listen, this is the kind of thing where you haven't heard much about dog fighting rings in a long time, so it's kind of interesting to have these things pop up now. I mean, we're talking about a lot of different crimes that we're seeing in a lot of different aspects of society changing, and now we're dealing with some of the old things. I guess three-card Monty games aren't too far behind.
Yeah, you're right. Usually with this type of stuff, it's those who are abusing animals. In this case, you're right. We haven't heard a lot regarding dogfighting, thank goodness. But cops right on the scene there. A good combination effort there with Nassau. And, again, those 28 dogs rescued, thank goodness. All right, let's head over to Cedarhurst, Joe. You had a startup accused of defrauding investors $30 million, according to the state attorney general there. I mean, that's quite a sum of money there.
Well, yeah, this is one of the biggest frauds that we've discussed so far. But they just keep on coming, right? But this is a little different where, you know, you have like a business kind of thing where you're defrauding money at us so you can get those kind of numbers. But, yeah, no, the scams and the frauds are alive and well, and it just seems like Long Island's got its full share of it. That's why we keep on telling people, be very careful about who you give your money to, who you answer the phone to, what kind of information you give out, and who you really trust. I mean, it's your money, but you should really do a little investigations on people.
Yeah, I give my money to my mattress. I mean, that's the only safe place you can possibly...
And don't smoke in bed.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I'm telling you. This is a company, by the way, that allegedly raised tens of millions of dollars from investors in stock sales and loans, all through false representation. So 100% right, Joe. Be careful here. Let's go to this whole thing with this workman's compensation. You have a former State Department of Transportation, I guess a motor carrier investigator from Shirley, defrauding the system, claimed an injury on the job, collected about $30,000 in benefits, and then secretly operating his own trucking company. I mean, like, you think you're not going to get caught doing this? My God, we say this all the time. It's unbelievable. And on top of all that, Joe, he used a vehicle that had multiple safety violations, according to state investigators here. So this 39-year-old, Nicola Momorley, did plead guilty in county court yesterday.
Yeah, now you kind of question why people think that this is easy to defraud the government. First of all, people are watching too, right? So you could have neighbors, even family members have turned other people in, you know, over this kind of fraud. But you kind of like scratch your head and say to yourself, you know, at least he wasn't posting pictures on Facebook like we've seen other people, right? No, I can't work anymore. I can't do this. The next thing you know, they're jet skiing and jumping out of airplanes and everything else. It's, you know, I guess when you think of this as a way to, you know, to make money, it just, you think it's too easy because you're getting away with it. But eventually they all catch up because greed gets people.
Yeah, when I read the story, I was looking for 4 letters within the confines, LIRR, but I was wrong. We remember that whole scheme from years ago, but you're right. It's always something else when somebody is supposed to be sitting out as far as injury, and they're running marathons. So, in essence, he gets caught. How about this 19? This is a troubled one here in Queens. We know anything more regarding this 19-year-old kid fatally shot in the street? I think it was Wednesday. Business student he was, Joe, over in Nassau community. Told his family he was heading to the gym less than an hour before he was found. That's a tough story regarding this Jay Battelle of Glen Oaks. Do we know anything more?
The latest thing that I heard is that this could have been a drug deal gone bad. So they're actually looking for a vehicle right now in regards to this. They have some of this caught on video surveillance. So I think they have an idea about what exactly transpired there, and we'll find out. So, you know, it's a terrible story. But, you know, you see some people live, double lives. It happens a lot. And people, you know, the family doesn't know and everything else. So we'll see what happens when the facts come out.
We shall see. Joe Jacklin on the crime report. Joe, it's hot and heavy these days, the vape stuff. And a couple of guys arrested. You had an undercover going on by police in Nassau County. And these two now are charged for selling vape products to minors, Juul Mint Pods to minors over in Valley Stream. And, you know, listen, this is what the deal is these days with this stuff on the street, the black market and everything else. People are dying. 26 deaths across the country, 1,300 illnesses or so, give or take. But right now, enforcement is indeed on the lookout for this stuff.
Well, sure. I mean, I think you'll see the state start getting involved in different operations, too. It's just not here on Long Island. It's anywhere in the state. So, there has been a few deaths now attributed to this stuff, and we don't want this stuff being sold to minors. So it's something that needs to be done. It's part of the deterrence package, I guess, that they're putting out and saying that, you know, they don't trust people to take these things off their shelves or sell them to minors, and this is exactly what's happening. So I think it's good. I think it's for safety reasons, and I think that this is something that should continue as long as people are willing to break the rules.
The Lido Beach teenager, Joseph, charged in the fatal stabbing of the Oceanside High School senior, Kasim Morris, the after-school fight, he will be arraigned I believe it's October 31st in county court in Nassau. So the grand jury indicted this Tyler Flack, the 18-year-old, of felony charges, second-degree murder, gang assault. Five others as well attached to this whole case as well, correct?
Yep, and this, you know, you kind of knew that they were going to get indicted and this was going to go to trial, go to the Supreme Court. So I don't think this is a big shock to anybody about the indictments. And, you know, I still think they'll be making more arrests down the road. I don't think they have everybody who's involved in this thing. You saw snippets of the video. There are so many kids there. And, you know, part of that is going to also be getting information from them and gathering evidence and testimony from those kids as well. So I think that, you know, this case is just scratching at the surface about who is involved and what they actually know. I think the police department is playing it pretty close to the vest, which is pretty good because we don't want to tip any of these other kids off that still might be out there loose.
Joe Jacklin in the midst of our crime report. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move to, and I knew this was going to happen, Joe, this jury selection process right now in the trial of Thomas Murphy, the Holbrook man. He's accused of driving drunk, fatally striking a Boy Scout. I guess it began in earnest yesterday. You had dozens of prospective jurors and pretty much saying, as I knew they would, they just cannot be impartial. Due to all of this publicity surrounding this case and, of course, the emotional toll of considering evidence of a child's death, this 12-year-old, Andrew McMorris, Murphy has pled not guilty to the charges. Remember this whole thing with Camacho, Fernando Camacho, the judge, offering a plea deal, turned it down. You have these delays, this jockeying for position, as I call it. It is taking its toll on the judge. He's not going to have any of this stuff. But in essence, you're going to have a tough time getting 12 people to be impartial here.
Yeah, this is a bad sign, especially specifically that the judge had denied to move the venue out. So now this might be revisited again if they can't find 12 prospective jurors that are willing to, you know, put any partiality aside or not know about this case. It's extremely difficult when you have a huge media case like this one does, and you have a small place like Long Island where people, everyone knows what happened and or read the story and or had their beliefs about what transpired. And therein lies the problem, right? Because people sometimes just base their opinions on headline reading instead of reading the actual story or knowing the actual facts. So defense attorneys are actually counting on this, and they actually might end up getting their wish down the road if this continues.
And they're gonna claim this guy had a medical event. He's had some health issues. My only hope here is that police have done their due diligence, and I mean dotting I's, Joe, crossing T's, because we know when this stuff is not being handled properly, protocol-wise, that's when you're gonna have some issues here. From a technical standpoint, listen, the fact of the matter is this guy played a round of golf, got the keys to his car, they wanted to give him a ride. And listen, if I'm with a guy like this, I just take away the guy's keys, you come with me. He got in his car and used his car like a weapon, mowed down 5 scouts on a hike. I mean, give me a break. Smelled of odor beyond as far as alcohol. I just hope the officer on the scene, Daniel Brecht, did his due diligence properly here. And therefore, it will not be kind of part of the minutiae that defense attorneys could use here to get their client off a case. That would be absolutely deplorable if that happens here.
Well, the attorney is already making statements that the police lack the evidence to even arrest him, and then they kind of had like this, according to him, like this, you know, we'll arrest him now, we'll figure it out later. They're pointing out problems with the sobriety test already. So this defense attorney is actually trying this case out in the public, and he's actually doing a pretty good job getting this information out there, or getting this, you know, planting the seeds in people's heads of doubt. And, you know, I just, you know, the judge maybe needs to have a gag order put on this thing and stop this, because as I'm reading about what's happening here, it just doesn't look good, Jay, like you're saying. I mean, this thing could go south on us in a hurry.
That would be, I tell you, you know, I feel the family, my goodness, to get closure on the 12-year-old's not coming back. Murphy should have accepted the plea. I'm sorry, should have accepted the plea deal here, okay? And now it's going to be an all-out assault as far as on him is concerned. You hope you get 12 impartial people. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know how it could. There's been so much publicity on this thing. But the guy was twice the limit as far as the alcohol, according to prosecutors. You know what? We'll see. And again, the jury selection process could take a long time. They might have to. Do you think they'll have a change of venue here? I think that would probably be the next situation involved.
Well, like I said, they had already been denied that, but if they can't find prospective jurors, I mean, then the judge needs to change his mind.
All right, there you go. It seems to be a weekly event in that of a sentencing of an MS-13 gang member. The latest will head to prison for 25 years. This Marlon Guevara, part of a group of members, gang members, who attacked a perceived rival with machetes and a baseball bat, October, what was it, 2016, all right, on a street. So this 20-year-old did plead guilty early in the year, faces deportation after he's done serving his term. Like I said, it seems like this is a weekly event in the courts.
Yeah, well, all the arrests that they made, you know, after all the homicides started, so now they're all coming up for trials. And, you know, things have been a little quiet in the MS-13 front, but, you know, now that you have the court cases coming up, and, you know, he got off kind of light when you think about it, you know, so we'll see what happens. I mean, this could be 25 to life, and, you know, so, hey, listen, the police and law enforcement and the prosecutors are doing a great job trying to clean up this mess, but, you know, we just don't know, still have any idea how many numbers are still out there of these gangs on Long Island.
The latest of, impropriety involved as far as unscrupulous activities. Talking about a pediatrician who lost his license, I believe, in year 2000, the Stuart Copperman out of Merrick, Joe. And thank goodness for these new laws in place, statute of limitations no more and everything else. You have a ton of people now that have lawsuits going against this individual. And it is free game right now for a lot of these guys. Okay, free game, and let's see how it transpires regarding this.
Yeah, this is a terrible story. You know, have somebody where you entrust, a doctor where you entrust with your children, and he's, you know, allegedly, you know, molesting them and stuff like that over a long period of time. So, yeah, let's hope these women get the closure that they need, and let's hope that we can figure out exactly what transpired, and if this guy did anything wrong, just throw him in jail. I mean, we have no toleration for people who abuse children or the elderly specifically. So, hey, listen, once the let's the investigation, you know, come out, let's find out what they know, and if they if this is true that it happened, let's throw the book at them and get rid of them.
No question. Quickly, another one here. Valley Stream drug dealer getting a sentence, more than a decade behind bars. I guess substantial quantities this guy supplied, Joe, of heroin to members of the Bullet Street Gang. This was another case. We have seen this before. But a tough sentence, and that's what's happening right now with these judges. They are not easing off at all.
Well, that's good, but we're going to see what happens come January 1st when the governor's new prison reform bill passes and all these new things that people, what do you call it? We should dedicate a whole show just to that coming up, Jay, because it is, for most of the people out there, they're going to be very angry when they realize what the governor is actually going to unleash on us come January 1st.
And we told everyone the story last week up in Warren County, that individual who mowed down a bystander was thrown in jail, and he's going to get out. When these new laws take place, January the 1st, 100% right, we have to tackle that. But this is what's happening right now with this bail reform and everything. It's a tough one, very tough. All right, let's move to some situations with some gangs, the Bloods in the East End. You had, what, 6 arrests there, Joe? Drugs, weapons, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, there's a kind of a story where these guys just pop up like kind of out of nowhere. You know, we haven't really talked much about the Bloods and the Crips gangs, but they're the largest gangs that we have here, and they're coming out of Brooklyn. I mean, everything's been MS-13 focused because of the violence and stuff. However, the feds are on top of these guys. They're charging them with murder, drug sales, everything, you name it. So do we have a vacuum that was created when MS-13 was decimated and cleaned up and now has the Bloods and the moved into some of these territories, and when the Bloods come in, the Crips usually follow. So this is a scary development. I mean, who would ever think, Jay, that Long Island would be this hotbed of gang activity? It's just, it's a real head scratcher.
I don't know what's going on. It has amplified itself without question. Now you got to worry about I don't even remember this gang, the Trinitarios. You probably do,
yeah, Trinitarios.
Joe.
Yes.
10 members of this violent gang arrested midweek in the Bronx. You had a couple of raids going on here. This was a nearly, in reading, Joe, nearly year-long probe targeting really one of New York City's larger immigrant street gangs there.
Yep, the Trinitarios have been around for a long time. When I was in the 110 squad, we dealt with the Trinitarios a while ago. They're a Dominican gang. And, you know, like everything else, their violence hasn't been as bad as MS-13 and some of the other gangs, but they're still, if you remember the Junior case when in Brooklyn where they beat this kid to death and they stabbed him and they got the wrong guy. Now, that was the Trinitarios thing. So they've been in the focus from the NYPD since that incident. So, you know, like everything else, these gangs are out there. It's just that they're coming into areas where, like Suffolk County, where we hadn't really seen them as much and the violence has come in. And you know what? Quite frankly, I don't think the residents of Long Island are prepared for this. This is something that is a new development that is kind of, puts you at odds about what exactly is happening here on Long Island.
Well, there's so much emphasis now with the drugs, you know, the heroin, the opioid crisis and everything else. But this is almost a derivative of that. When you think about it, but an ongoing problem, and you certainly can't take your foot off the gas here. What about crime declining 2.6% as compared to last year in the city, Joe? We talk about some of the good things, you know, with intelligence and everything else right now, technology wise. But we have seen a drop in the crime wave. I'm not going to give Mayor de Blablabla though here any credit.
Yeah, no, like I said, you know, the last 28 days, though, haven't been too kind, so it's kind of interesting. You know, you have to be careful when you pick and choose about, your crime stats. So, for instance, for the week, murder was up 116%. 28 days, they were up 28% for murder. And they're actually, year-to-date, they're actually up in murder. They're up in rape. They're up in felony assault. So I don't know exactly what they're saying when they're saying crime's down, you know. So I'm just, and I'm reading this right off the latest CompStat report. So, you know, they're down 2.59 for the year, but the lion's share of that decline is in burglaries, which was down 11.7%. But the violent crime, murder's up, rape is up, robbery is almost even, felony assault is up a little bit. But you know what? Your property offenses, burglary, grand larceny, and grand larceny auto are driven down pretty far, and that brings down the whole average because it's not a complete weighted average. Each crime, so this, you know, someone steals a car counts the same as somebody who gets murdered. So, you know, this is why you have to be careful when people are spouting stuff. Yeah, so the number's down 2.59, but the violence against people is up, and that's something that should be concerning.
No doubt. Great point. Excellent. But hate crimes are up as well, I think I read. So be careful when you look at these numbers. Be careful when you look at these numbers. They can be a little bit awkward as far as the categories are concerned, thus driving down some of this other stuff. Two more for you, Joe. And again, we talked about the vaping and the deaths. We had the first one, I guess, here in the state, a teenager from the Bronx, right?
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that they're going to be kicking off, you know, more of these type of operations where they're going to be going after people who are selling cigarettes, these vaping things, whether it's local shops, the black market, what have you. You know, this is what happens when they actually go to create a black market for this because they had it and then they said they can't sell it anymore. So the stuff that's out there ends up in the black market and people who want this are still going to try it. And one thing we've learned about, you know, like so learned from the heroin epidemic is that people, even though they know that the fentanyl's in it, there's a chance it's going to kill them, they still are going to do it because it's a highly addictive thing and they have no control over it. So this is just another, you know, front that law enforcement will have to face, not only here but everywhere else in the country where this is going to go.
But I've said all along, Joe, this is what we've been talking about with the black market on the street. You don't know what you're taking in. It's the same thing with the fentanyl and everything else. The THC, the E-oil, and everything else. These are chemical burns that are now being taken into one's system. You don't know what you're getting. There's no set quantity of anything here that you might see in a vape shop. It's tough. Don't get anything on the street, bottom line. That's why they have to ban some of this stuff, Joe. Finally, I'll end with this sad story. I hate to end with it, but another police officer taking his own life. It happened in Nassau. I believe he was 27 years, if I'm not mistaken, on the force, Joe. A tough story. You know, and again, departments are setting up based on some of this stuff. I mean, this is unreal when I read this stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, this is, like I said, this is a nationwide problem. It's just because it's happening close to home, I think it's finally hitting home in the respect that people actually know about this problem of police suicides. So hopefully that these departments and the politicians can get the help that some of these cops need without making it too punitive for them and, you know, removing their guns from them and everything else, because that, I think, exacerbates the problem. So we'll see what happens.
Joe, well done. Lots on the plate. We'll see what happens in the coming week and talk to you next week. How's that?
Sounds like a plan. Take care. Have a great weekend.